Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast.
I got a text.
Sorry. I was like, all right, I guess we're done.
I'm Emily.
I'm Jeanette.
And welcome back to Horror Slumber Party. That sounded like a game show just now.
We always do this. I think it's now a routine.
I think it is. Why is this not working?
It's no longer a podcast.
No, it is not.
But anyways, it's been a hot minute since we've been in this seat, but the holidays passed. I honestly can't believe it's already 2020.
Yes, happy new year.
Happy roaring 20s. Am I right?
Yes, yes.
If there's any Gatsby's out there, I want to know because I want to go to a party.
That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
But anyways, I'm about to move on Monday, so that's fun. Other than that, I haven't really done anything interesting except for open up presents and get my car inspected. Whoa!
My computer's doing stuff with itself right now. Like,
why?
It just keeps opening things. Like, I looked over and the Xbox app was open and I was like...
My computer was out of whack for a while. I don't know what was wrong with it, though.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm, like, here now. I'm fully focused, I hope.
My computer completely just ignored everything I just said.
Completely. You know I just ignore you.
It's okay. They didn't.
I hope not. As long as they hurt you, it's okay. I have notes of things to talk to you about.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so first of all, I was in Dallas.
For once, it was her, not me.
That's true. Well, actually, I feel like I've gone to Dallas more recently than you. Like, I at least travel there, like, probably just as often, actually, as
you. Yeah, I feel like it's pretty equal.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I have family there, too, and stuff. But we go to visit David's family. So I went there for, like, Christmas and stuff. We went on the 27th, and we stayed until today, the 2nd. It was a long
time.
She's
back.
I'm back.
Literally, we started recording after she got home.
Yeah, like, not that long after we got home, too.
I mean, we ran to Target first, but that doesn't matter.
It's true. So how was your Christmas, by the way?
It was good. It was pretty simple. Well, my sister was in town at one point, and then that was way before Christmas. I don't know why I said that.
I think we posted our episode on that day.
But Christmas Day, Jennifer, my other sister, came to our house, and we just celebrated with them and my nephews. That was really it. It was really simple, but. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, honestly, I feel like I haven't even celebrated Halloween yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
this year has felt... It's not even this year anymore. It was last year.
Last year was...
It was weird.
Zooming. I mean, a lot of great things happened.
Yeah.
Looks at really. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, no, I agree. But our Christmas Day was really calm, too. David had to work. So we, like, my entire family went and visited him at work.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah. Like, including my grandparents.
That's adorable.
Yeah. New Year's, I had a pretty uneventful New Year. I was in Dallas for New Year's, and I was playing a board game with David, his brother, and his brother's girlfriend. So, my in-laws. I was playing a board game with them at midnight. We were playing Monopoly, like, at midnight. So
I mean, that's fun.
We like, watched the ball drop, then we were like, hey, happy New Year's. So we went
Dallas
and we played more Monopoly.
A thing, like their own little ball drop thing.
Well, we played Monopoly.
That would have been cool to go to.
Monopoly?
Yeah. No, the ball drop.
Monopoly.
In Dallas. I mean, Parker just went to bed, so I guess Monopoly's better than that.
That's true.
I mean, I stayed up, but I was just at home because I wanted to plan like a little party with the friends here, but one of them had the flu. And then the other one had to be with her family, so I was like, okay, whatever.
That makes sense. Yeah. That works.
But I'm sad I didn't even get Parker to New Year's kiss.
I'm sorry. I had dinner with her boyfriend.
It's true.
In Dallas.
It was an odd but wonderful experience.
It was nice. It was a really pleasant experience.
Y'all know it wasn't odd at all.
It wasn't that odd, no. Okay, so we also went to the Winter Classic. Which
going on?
I'm on my notes and I'm getting there.
Oh.
We went to the Winter Classic, which, if you don't know, me neither. It's a hockey game. We went to a big hockey game in Dallas. David was super excited. like super excited about it. I could tell by his story. It was awesome. No, he was pumped. Although we were standing in line to get corn dogs for like 45 minutes and he was like, I'm so excited. I was like, me too, about this corn dog. Like, I'm pumped. Honestly. And he was like, Emily, I'm talking about the game. And I was like, oh, I wasn't. Me too. I'm excited about it. So, yeah, there's that. And then today we went to the video game museum, which is in Frisco. It was really, really fun. It was a cute little thing. We were surrounded by children. I felt very old. It was really cool, though. And also, I read Bird Box, or at least most of it. That's it. I'm not...
That's done. All right.
Now I have to talk. Wait, more,
was
though.
Was it good, though?
Yeah, no, it was really good. I was,
You just randomly threw that in there. You're like, and I read Bird
and
Box.
And I read Bird Box.
The end.
No, it was really good. Like, I really liked the way it was written.
Did you ever see the movie?
No, I wanted to read it. So
makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch it as soon as I finish it. I'm almost done with it. I only have about 50 pages left. Oh, I'm pretty sure I've read somewhere what happens at the end. But I guess we'll find out.
I mean, I saw the movie when everyone was, like, hyped about it, but...
I really like it just because each chapter, it like, it's present, and then the next chapter is stuff that happened in the past, present, past, that sort of thing.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, and I can already, like, okay, if you haven't read or watched Bird Box, skip here. skip a couple seconds ahead.
We don't know the time.
Don't know yet. But it hasn't specifically come up yet, but I'm pretty sure both of her children are hers and Olympia's, right? Like the babies, like one is hers, one is Olympia's.
Yes,
I thought so, because like I'm reading it and I'm like,
the girl's name, but I guess it's Olympia. I don't...
Yeah, Olympia. But as soon as she showed up and she was pregnant too, I was like, oh, that's why there's two kids.
Yeah,
like that makes sense. Yeah. Okay,
but yeah, there we go.
That's basically it. And I heard at the end of the book that they gouged their eyes out instead of, like, I don't even know. I'm not there yet. We'll find out.
In the
movie?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what they did. I don't think they gouged their eyes out.
Didn't they get to, like, a colony that it's, like...
That was, like, all blind, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did.
I feel like they...
But they made this thing to where, like, if you can see, like, it still won't hurt you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it's like, this giant building thing, and it has, like, these windows, but it's, like, not affected by... I don't know. Honestly can't remember the exact, like...
The exact thing?
Yeah, because I haven't seen it in a while, but...
Got it.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay. Well, eventually, I think we'll do an episode on, like, post-apocalyptic, like, things like that.
That's
and, like,
scary.
The possibilities of them, that sort of thing.
That's so scary.
Isn't it? Now, you know, it's even more scary. A word from our sponsor. I'm just kidding. We don't have that. We don't have a sponsor. Okay, so, no, we do. Anchor.
Thank you, Anchor.
Thanks, Anchor. Try it. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the murder of Travis Alexander. You probably...
I like how you turn your voice into, like,
it's Travis spooky mode.
Alexander.
Yeah, we're in serious mode now. Have you heard of the case just by the name?
I mean, I've heard the names Travis and Alexander, but that's together? About it. I don't think together, okay. But I've heard of the names.
Well, this man was killed in his house on June 4th, 2008. So he was killed with his injuries consisted of multiple stab wounds, a slit throat, and a shot to the head.
Oh my God.
Entirely overkill.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So, let's start talking about him a little bit. All right? So, that was a big spoiler for the end of this. So, he was born on July 28th, 1977. He was born in Riverside, California. My sources, by the way, is Murderpedia, mainly. I also used, I think it was ABC, CNN, and just Wikipedia. Those were my sources for this. But mainly what I'm basing it off of right now is Murderpedia. Cool. So he was born in Riverside, California, 1977. And after his father's death, Alexander and his siblings were taken by their paternal grandmother, Norma Jean Preston Alexander Sarvey. Sorry, that was a long name. I really had to work my way up to it. Who they introduced them to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. So I think Mormonism.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. He was a salesman, and he also worked as a motivational speaker. Now let's talk about his ex-girlfriend.
The exes.
Yeah. Her name is Jody Ann Arias. She was born on July 9th, 1980 in Salinas, California. So she and Alexander had met in September 2006 at a prepaid legal services conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then in November 26, 2006, she was baptized into the Latter-day Saint faith by Alexander. As of
February
2nd, 2007, they were a couple. The two did break up on June 29th, 2007. Or after they broke up on June 29th, 2007, she moved to Mesa, California until April 2008, in which she moved to her grandparents' house in Eureka, California.
Eureka?
It's Y-R-E-K-A.
So not Eureka.
No, not Eureka. So let's go ahead and just get into talking about what happened here.
All right.
Shall we? I mean, that's what we're here to do, right?
No, we're not.
Oh, we're not?
We're here what for are we ASMR. Here for?
No, please don't do ASMR.
Here we go.
I don't want to do ASMR. No ASMR. No ASMR. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. Oh my gosh. That sounded like a fart.
I did, but I promise it was just me sipping my coffee. Anyways, going on.
Okay, so he... Oh my gosh. Okay, so he was murdered on June 4th, 2008, as I said. It was 27 to 29 stab wounds, a slit throat, and a gunshot. Medical examiner Kevin Horn testified that his jugular vein and common... carotid artery and trachea had been slashed, but he did have defensive wounds on his hand, which means, like, you know, he was fighting back. He said that he may have been dead whenever the gunshot was inflicted, but we don't know for sure, and that the back wounds were shallow, so his death was ruled a homicide.
I feel like the gunshot, though, was probably, like, let me put an end to him now.
Maybe, but it could have been overkill. We see That's overkill true. A lot in some cases.
That's true. It could just be like, sad. Let me shoot him, even though he's dead.
Yeah, it's just like a, yeah. Especially, well,
or the person wanted to make sure he was dead.
That too. But in a lot of cases, especially with like jealousy and things like that, overkill is very common.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Have all their rage.
Overkill is usually like personal.
Yeah.
Because you don't just do that to some random person. You know?
Unless they just like to play with their victims.
Yeah, like some other people that we'll talk about eventually. Oh, but we talked about one like 2 weeks ago, the toolbox killers. That case was awful. Okay, so. In early 2008, Alexander had told people that Arias would join him, so Jody, would join him on a work-related trip to Cancun, Mexico, scheduled for June 15th. So in April, he asked to change his travel companion to another female friend.
Oh.
Yeah. On May 28th, 2008, well, this was after they broke up, which is why he was asking. For it should be someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't like quite say that. So on May 28th, 2008, a burglary occurred at the residence of her grandparents in which she was living. Among the missing items was a .25 caliber automatic Colt pistol, and that was never recovered, by the way, from the burglary. However, this did become significant later when a .25 caliber round was found near his body at the scene.
Oh my God.
I'm assuming you see where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so between June 2nd On June 2nd, between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., she called him 4 times, but did not appear to get through to him, as the longest of the calls was 17 seconds. After 3 a.m., he called her twice, for the first time for 18 minutes, the second time for 41 minutes, and then at 4:03, she called him back, and then the call lasted for 2 hours and 48 seconds. Neither of the calls or transcripts were presented. At 5:39 a.m., Aria set out to drive south and rent a car for a long trip to Utah. Rent a car, as stated in evidence by a gasoline purchase at the Shell Food Mart in Eureka, that place.
Eureka.
On June 2nd at 8:04 a.m., she rented a car at Budget Rent-A-Car in Redding, California.
Budget Rent-A-Car.
Mm-hmm. She also said that she would return the car to Budget in Redding. Like she said, she'd be like, hey, I'll bring it back to this exact spot. Kind of weird, though, because she was going to Utah for something, you know? Yeah. So she visited friends in Southern California on her way to Utah for a work conference and to meet with Ryan Burns, a coworker. By late evening, June 3rd, she was apparently set out for Salt Lake City. So, there we go. On June 4th, Alexander missed an important conference call. The following day, did I say Alexander? I did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's his last name, by the way. His first name is Travis, but in most articles, I just tend to go by last names.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
The next day, Jody met with the coworker in Salt Lake City in Salt Lake City, suburb of West Jordan, Utah, and attended business meetings for the conference. So he noticed that her hair was formerly blonde, it was now dark brown, and she had cuts on her hands. Good sign, right?
No.
So on June 6th, she left Salt Lake City and drove west towards California. She called Alexander several times and left several voicemail messages. She also accessed his cell phone voicemail system. She returned the car on June 7th, as it had been driven about 2,800 miles. The rental clerk testified that the car was missing its floor mats and had red stains on its front and rear seats.
Wow.
It could not be verified.
Way to be obvious.
Right? It could not be verified that the car had floor mats when she picked it up, and any stains could not be verified because the car was cleaned before the police could examine it. Now, excuse me. If I own a car rental business and some lady...
I'm going to have police scan it first.
Yeah, and some lady brings me back a car with red stains in it, I'm not going to just clean it.
That would be stupid.
That really would be stupid. So we're going to skip ahead a few days. And now that it is June 9th, after being unable to reach Alexander, people from prepaid legal services went to his home to check on him. His roommates said he was out of town. After some searching, they found a key to his master bedroom. And whenever they entered it, they noticed large pools of blood in the hallway leading to the master bathroom, where his body was discovered in the shower.
Oh, no.
They also made notifying authorities. Wow. The 911 call they made notifying authorities of the discovery mentioned an ex-girlfriend who Alexander said was stalking him, hacking into his Facebook account and slashing his tires.
I thought you were leaving it at face. Hacking into his face. And I was like, so like...
It's kind of... Well, yeah.
Kind of.
So... you know, with the bullet that was found on the scene, or the casing that was found on the scene, the prosecutors argued that the burglary was staged by her and the stolen gun was used to shoot him, you know. Which makes sense, because that was the only thing that was stolen.
Wow.
And that was what shot him. Yeah. So, now we're going to go into, like, a little bit more backstory regarding this, okay?
Okay.
So, why do I keep saying okay?
I don't know. I'm permission. Not okay with it.
Too bad.
What we're not going to do is that.
We're getting into it. So, several days before the trip, she had been repeatedly contacting her ex-boyfriend, Daryl Brewer, asking to borrow 2 5-gallon gas cans for a trip to Arizona. The cans had not been returned to him. Receipts presented at the trial also showed that she purchased a third 5-gallon gas can, sunblock, and facial cleanser from Walmart in Salinas on June 3rd, 2008. That evening, at an Arco gas station in Pasadena, California, she purchased some gas with her debit card, and 4 minutes later, she purchased more gas with cash. So she purchased 8.3 gallons of gas with her debit card. Did it just get bright in here?
No.
No?
Why does it feel like... I mean, my phone turned on. Is this
brighter?
Oh my
gosh. Wow. Good morning.
I don't think that's doing anything.
I don't think so either. No. Okay, so...
Oh, Emily's tripping.
It's been so long since we recorded. I don't know if I'm doing this right. Okay, so
you're
she bought...
You're doing good, sweetie.
Thanks. Anyways, go on. Okay, so she bought 8.3 gallons of gas with her debit card, and 4 minutes later purchased 9.5 gallons of gas...
Purchased.
With cash. So that's lot of gas.
That is.
That's a ton of gas. So the MasterCard was used again on June 6th, 2008, 3 times at a Tesoro gas station in Salt Lake City, at a Pilot Flying J Travel Center in Winnemucca, Nevada, and a 7-Eleven in Sparks, Nevada. So after his death, it was discovered that she had tried to call him and leave several voice messages. I said that a bit earlier. It was later alleged that she had accessed his voice messages after his death. She said that Alexander had originally planned to visit her in May 2008, but his plans had changed. So a .25 caliber round was located near one of the sinks in the master bath. He also had a damaged digital camera that was located in the downstairs washing machine.
Oh.
That's a good place to keep cameras. So, the camera was brand new, by the way. Detective Flores was on the phone with Jody and asked her if she knew someone with a possible motive that someone would want to damage his camera. Although the images had been deleted and it was put through the washing machine... the Mesa police was able to recover the images. So she was trying to get rid of the evidence that she used while taking pictures. There is, Shane Dawson actually talked about this in a conspiracy video.
I don't remember that.
One of Maybe them is the picture, like, right before he died. Like, the look on his face, eerie, awful, creepy. I can show it to you. See, let me find it for you real quick. So, this is the last picture that was taken of him. It's creepy, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is,
And you can see the fear in his eyes.
It's terrifying. This is the one that Shane Dawson was talking about, is that, like, the pictures... look like the scene from Psycho. So incredibly creepy. Everything like that.
Everything that goes within Psycho.
Yeah. So the camera, like the pictures were, they were recovered. And then some of the images included both of them in sexually positioned, poses. And then at approximately 1:40 p.m. on June 4th, 2008, the last photo of Alexander alive and in the shower was taken at 5:29 p.m. on June 4th. So the pictures of them being sexually suggestive was only at 1:40.
Oh.
Yeah. And in that picture, he's believed to be profusely bleeding on the floor. By the way,
so you think,
yeah,
hopefully they got that too. What I was saying, anyways, go on.
Okay, so a bloody palm print was located in the bathroom hallway, which DNA revealed to be a mixture of both of their DNA. Jody continued to insist that she had last seen him in April 2008. Despite being presented with DNA and photographic evidence by Detective Esteban Flores. So at least fix up your story a little bit.
Right.
I mean, don't. I'm glad you're in jail.
No, but yeah, like, this, people sometimes can't even hide it. Like,
yeah, seriously. Okay, so.
It's dumb. Like, never mind. I was about to say, if you're going to do something like this, then at least be good at it. But then I'm like, don't no, be good at don't it. Do that either.
Don't do any of it. Don't do it or be good at it. Please. So Ryan Burns and others who had met her in Utah after the killing indicated that she had bandages on her hands and that she wore long sleeves on days when it was very hot. She had told different stories about how she'd received the cuts on her hands. He was told, Ryan Burns was told that they were from an injury while working at a Margaritaville restaurant. At the trial, it was revealed
Weird,
by...
Margaritaville is good.
I think the last time I had it was on an orchestra trip, like with you guys.
Wait, yeah, we did go there.
Yeah. At the trial, it was revealed by Siskiyou. I should really figure out how to say things before we're on air. Siskiyou County, California authorities that no such restaurant exists nor ever exists in the area. And at the time of the killing, she worked at Casa Ramos in Eureka.
Eureka!
Yep. On June 5th, 2008... West Jordan, Utah, police officer Michael Gallietti pulled Arias over while she was in a rented vehicle driving to a meeting with him. The front license plate of the car was missing and the rear plate was upside down. She contributed this to some kids at a Starbucks playing a trick on her.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Burns helped Arias fix the license plate, but the police officer did not cite her infraction. So, Arias was indicted by a grand jury on first-degree murder charge on July 9th, 2008, and she was arrested at her grandparents' home on July 15th, 2008. She was extradited to Arizona on September 5th, 2008, where she pled not guilty on September 11th, 2008. Yeah. She gave three different accounts of her whereabouts. She originally told the police that she had been home at the time of Alexander's death. She later told police that two intruders had broken into his home and they murdered him and attacked her. Finally, she stated that she killed Alexander in self-defense and that she was a victim of domestic violence. So that's the one that she stuck with, by the way, was the domestic violence. Now, in another article that I read, this one I'm just going off of memory. I think this was ABC. But she was just trying to convince them that he got really, really mad at her and that he tried to hurt her and rape her. Yeah. And so she was doing self-defense. There's a really in-depth description on how that happened. I'm not going to go into it as it does talk about sexual intercourse and rape quite a bit. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
So I'm not going to talk about that as it's believed that that wasn't true at all. I don't want to get into that, you know?
Because there's no point in talking about
There's no point.
That just came out of her own crazy mind.
It did. So in March 2009, because of expressed concerns about the possible violation of victims' rights... by ex parte, wow, ex parte mitigation status conferences, wow. It was ordered that the appointed mitigation master was relieved of further duties with limited exceptions. In May 2009, the court could not determine whether IQ testing and or competency screening had been previously ordered. So it was ordered that she submit to IQ testing and that she would be tested for competence. Does that make sense? Like what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just trying to make sure that she's smart enough to have done it on her own accord because she like hadn't been tested for any of that. So. In August 2009, Victoria Washington and Kurt Nurmi were appointed as the defense counsel replacing Maria Schaefer. In September 2009, a defense motion to extend the last day beyond March 3rd, 2010 was denied. But in November 2009, another motion was granted after the state did not file a response. And the last day was set to August 31st, 2010. That's a lot of words, man.
I know. I was like, dang.
That was a lot of dates. I don't blame you if you don't really remember that later.
Wow.
That is fine. Okay, so in opening arguments on January 2nd, 2013, prosecutor Juan Martinez sought the death penalty. Arias was represented by appointed counsel L. Kirk Nurmi and Jennifer Wilmot, who argued that Alexander's death was a justifiable homicide committed in self-defense. I was taking a psychology test the other day.
Dude, I love psychology.
I do too. And one of the questions had acceptable homicide as an answer. And I was like, that's...
Excuse me?
She definitely just put it there to mess with us. But I was like, excuse me. Acceptable homicide?
Okay, honestly though, I quote my psychology class all the time. I kind of want to take another one for fun.
I think about it all the time. I mean, especially with what we do here, like talking about like murderers and stuff. Like, it's really relevant to that.
But... No, but, like, I just love psychology because it explained just normal day-to-day things, too, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, wow.
So a man testified that Arias visited him in Utah on June 5th, and that she told him that he'd cut her hands on broken glass while working at a restaurant called Margaritaville. Yeah, so she's doing that. At the time, she was working at Casa Ramos. She testified that she cut her finger. I had a bazillion margaritas to make. That's what she said.
A bazillion margaritas to make.
Apparently.
So that's why I have cuts all over me. Excuse me, ma'am, you shouldn't be making the margaritas.
Yeah, no, you should not be. Okay. This part has a lot to do with sexual stuff, so we're not going... to talk too much about it. I'm going to quickly read through this real quickly. If this sort of stuff is uncomfortable for you to listen to, feel free to skip. On her second day at the stand, she said that their sex life included oral and anal, and that anal sex was painful for her for the first time they experienced it together, and that she considered oral sex and anal sex to be real sex. That is just what she said.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. During the thing, a phone sex tape was played. Yeah. I read that. Like, I read it online. It's creepy to listen to or watch. Read, my goodness.
I was like, wait, what were you watching?
Because she killed him. Like, that's creepy. It's so creepy. So she testified that her relationship with him became increasingly physically and emotionally abusive, some of which caused his sister, Travis's sister, to continually roll her eyes and shake her head in belief. Jody said that Travis shook her while saying, "I'm effing sick of you," and then began screaming at me, after which he had body slammed me at the foot of the bed and taunted her, saying, "Don't act like that hurts," before he called her a bitch and kicked her in the ribs. Yeah.
I mean, that's not what happened, right? Or is that just her alibi? Not alibi, but, you know.
Honestly, I don't know.
Could have, but couldn't.
Yeah. Okay. Afterward, it's not, people don't think, oh, that's what happened there now.
I mean, yeah. She's the one that killed him, then.
But
probably not real.
And then, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, anyway. I keep going. I'm over here just thinking.
She then said he went to kick me again, so I put my hand out. And then she did show her left hand, showing that her ring finger was crooked.
Ah.
So.
Gross.
Yeah. According to her, the dysfunction of their relationship reached its climax when she killed him in self-defense after he became enraged following a day of sex and a gun accident, forcing her to fight for her life. This was the third different account of how Alexander's death had occurred that she had offered the police. This was the third way she had said that this happened.
She's all, okay, the third so way. I'm joking about the other two. This is a real thing. Excuse me?
Yeah, I don't, okay. And so both the prosecutors and the observers felt severely damaged as with her credibility, a sentiment later echoed by the jurors upon the completion of the guilt phase. So she addressed some comments that she made in September 2008 on a television interview that had played earlier in the trial. In the interview, she said, "No jury is going to convince me because I'm innocent. You can mark my words on that." During the statement during her testimony, she said, "At the time of the interview, I had plans to commit suicide. So I was extremely confident that no jury would convict me because I didn't expect any of you to be here." At the close of his cross-examination of Jody, Martinez replayed the video that and prompted Arias to confirm that she had said that during an interview, that she would not be convicted because she was innocent. At the end of the guilt phase, the jury's foreman, William Zervigos, expressed an opinion common to the jury members and the courtroom observers when he told ABC's Good Morning America that Arias's testimony did not do her any good. "I think 18 days hurt her. I think she was not a good witness." Which, it's very clear that she's not credible.
Right.
At all. Even a little bit. So he was saying that her body is likely suffering from stress. Sorry, a psychologist, Richard Samuel, said that. So her body likely went into fight or flight mode. So she was trying to defend herself. So she was trying to stop retaining a memory. So, yeah. So he also diagnosed her with post-traumatic stress disorder. Prosecutor Juan Martinez attacked his credibility, accusing him of forming a relationship with her and being biased. Samuels had previously testified that he had compassion for her. So, not very credible there either.
No.
You know? He had previous... Oops, sorry, I just read that. Beginning on March 22nd, Alice LaViolette, a psychotherapist who specializes in domestic violence, testified that she was a victim of domestic abuse and that most victims don't tell anyone about abuse because they feel ashamed and humiliated. She summarized his emails from Alexander's close friends. They have basically advised Jody to move on from the relationship and that Mr. Alexander was abusive to women. The jury posed nearly 160 questions to LaViolette, many of them focusing on Jody's credibility. Sorry, there is a lot to do with this jury. Like, there's
I know, there quite really a bit. Is.
Usually we don't go this far into the juries.
I know.
But we're really going today. So the clinical psychologist Janine DeMart testified for the prosecution that she did not suffer from PTSD or amnesia, and that she found no evidence that he abused her. Instead, she said that she, Jody, suffered from borderline personality disorder, showing signs of immaturity and an unstable sense of identity. And she told the jury that people that suffer from this disorder have a terrified feeling of being abandoned by others. On April 24th, in response to previous testimony given by Arias about buying a $5 gas can from Walmart in Salinas, on June 3rd, 2008, she returned the same day. Wow, I said that in a really weird way, didn't I? No? I didn't. Sorry.
Emma, I don't know. Let me see.
On June 3rd, 2008, she returned the same day, and the prosecution called Amanda Webb, one of the Walmart employees from that Walmart. The Walmart said that she had reviewed all of the records for the store and found no return of the 5-gallon gas can. While there was a record of the can being sold at the date, there was no record of the gas can being returned for over a week, according to her. The final defense witness, we're getting there.
Oh, wow, this is a lot.
We are almost done. Was psychologist Dr. Robert Geffner, who said that her borderline diagnosis was not appropriate, and that all tests taken by her since her arrest pointed toward an anxiety disorder stemming from trauma. He also said that the test indicated that she answered questions honestly and without lying. However, those sort of tests aren't ever really accurate. You cannot test or treat an entire case based off of that. No.
No, because they only, it only documents your, like, heart rate and your, like, breathing rate and stuff like that. Because apparently when you lie, like, they go, like, high and stuff like that. But if you're a good liar, and especially if you believe that you're fine, you know, like, most murderers and stuff, they're like, eh, you know, I'm fine. It's true. You know, I mean, this case, I'm sure she knew she was in trouble, but...
But, yeah, no, a lot of them...
You could easily pass a lie detector test if you're just, like...
Maybe not easily, because they definitely have newer things now.
Well, yeah, I know, but like...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Depends on your mental state, because if you believe that you're fine, even though you've done crazy things, then you're going to be fine.
And based off of this, her mental state... Well, based off of all of what the psychologists have said, her mental state was not the best.
Exactly, so...
But it did say that she answered truthfully. Okay, so... On May 8th, 2013, after 15 hours of deliberation, she was found guilty for first-degree murder. She struggled to repress tears as his family smiled and hugged each other. Several people gathered outside the courtroom and began celebrating by cheering and chanting. So... following the first-degree murder conviction, the prosecution required to convince the jury that the murder was cruel, heinous, or depraved in order to determine if she was available for the death penalty.
Wow.
That phase of the trial started on May 15th, 2013. Arias's attorneys, who had repeatedly asked to step down from the case... gave only brief opening statements and closing arguments, in which they said the adrenaline rushing through Alexander's body may have prevented him from feeling much of the pain during his death. Do you like that they didn't want to be her attorney anymore?
Yeah.
They really just didn't want to be her attorney anymore.
They're like, I'm done.
They don't. I mean, she's, yeah. So, Prosecutor Martinez.
Wait, hold on. So, you're saying that they were thinking about the death penalty?
Yeah, they were trying to figure out if she was liable for it.
Oh.
If she was able to be.
But they didn't... I feel like there's a lot of stories where they killed more people and they didn't try to do the death penalty.
Since this one was so brutal, though, that tends to be the case.
But it's one brutal murder or, like, many...
No, I agree.
You know, it's, like, I feel like it's either weird. Way, they're still both really bad.
it also depends on the state which they That's are, because true. Some states don't have the death penalty anymore.
That's true.
Let me see. So they then showed photos of the corpse and the crime scene to the jury, and then paused for 2 minutes of silence to illustrate how long he said it took for Alexander to die at Arius's hands. So, they were quiet for 2 minutes so they would feel how long it felt for him to die. Like, how long he would feel the pain for.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. After less than 3 hours of consideration, right, the jury determined that she was eligible for the death penalty.
Oh, wow.
May 21st, 2013, she offered an allocution during which she pleaded for the life sentence. She acknowledged that her plea for life was a reversal of the remarks she made to the TV reporter shortly after her conviction. When she said she preferred the death penalty. She's just not keeping it straight. Basically.
Huh.
So on May 23rd, 2013, the sentencing phase of Arias' trial resulted in a hung jury, prompting the judge to declare a mistrial for the phase. CNN had reported the vote was 8-4 in favor of the death penalty, though. The mistrial was declared and the jury was discharged. The jury foreman stated that he believed Arias was mentally abused, but that had not been enough to excuse her crime. I promise we're almost done. So, during the trial, defense attorneys filed for mistrial in January, April, and May 2013.
Wait, I kind of want to sit here for 2 minutes.
I mean...
Would y'all want to do that? I like the microphone. That's kind of cool.
I mean, that would just be really quiet. But yeah, let's do that. Let me start my stopwatch.
Okay, guys, timer. We're doing what they have to do.
Yeah, so we're going to sit
quiet. Hold on, explain it one more time so they know what we're
okay,
doing.
Okay, so the judge had them sit quietly for 2 minutes to signify how long his death took.
If y'all don't want to do this, then y'all can skip 2 minutes.
Ahead until we start talking.
I think this is kind of interesting. So, yeah. Ready, set, go.
Okay.
So he was in agony, right?
Yeah.
Those two. It's
although it likely took longer than that, obviously, but that's.
But even those 2 minutes, you don't really know how long they are until you sit there for 2 minutes.
It was. That felt like a really long time.
I know, because you like pointed out the timer, and I was like, "Wow, there's still 45 seconds."
Yeah, that was a lot. That sucks. So. Since this is already pretty long, I'm just going to skip to her sentencing. I lost it. Wait.
Hello?
Basically, she was sentenced to life without possibility of parole. However, I cannot find where it says that. Did something happen? Within the 2 minutes that we were sitting
here? It's just
here?
Gone.
I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Was it on another website?
No. It was on this one. It doesn't matter. Okay. That's very weird. Yeah, so there you go. That is the murder of Alexander Travis. Travis Alexander. Whoops.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
It really is.
I mean, all of these are, but...
It's wow. The overkill ones that are really also just...
And you're just like, why?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, he's dying. Just... You did it.
I know. It sucks. It sucks really bad.
I feel bad.
I do, too.
I wonder if they did have an abusive relationship, though. Like, I'm sure she was lying.
Yeah.
But also, that could have been a thing.
Well, there was, like, some evidence that showed that they weren't in a good relationship, too.
I mean, but also, well, if they, well, I was about to say, but communication, you know. But, I mean, if it was an abusive, then that's usually not really.
That's not really something, yeah. Yeah.
You can just communicate like, hey, with. Listen, I don't like it when you hit me. And they're like, shut up. Sad.
Yeah.
That is so sad.
It is.
But do you know what that just reminded me of? Did you see that new Curtis Connor video? Well, newer. It's not the newest, I don't think. Where he was talking about that TikToker couple.
Yes.
And okay. He was like, these people are horrible. Because they posted that prank video.
To fill you guys in, Curtis Connor is a YouTuber that both of us watch. He actually has a podcast called The Very Really Good Podcast.
Hey, we're plugging him.
So if you want a break from true crime
and just want to laugh and you can enjoy him,
go listen to that one. Or the David and David podcast.
Yeah, too. You can laugh at that one too.
But basically, they did a prank. These two people on TikTok, Lauren Goodwin, I think, or Godwin, and
I forgot the guy's name, but he was a lot of fake.
He's the orange dude. they posted a prank video where they tried to prank their friends into thinking they were in
an abusive relationship
by showing him punching her in fake blood.
That is not horrible. Okay.
Absolutely, like, not okay.
Nothing about abusive relationships is a joke. That's scary. And nothing. In the beginning of the video, he was like, just so y'all know, if y'all are in an abusive relationship, here's a link down below where you can contact people.
Good.
And he was like, now let's get on to the joke. Like, excuse me.
At least he said that, but also like...
Okay, but just because you put a link does not mean it's okay to just joke about it.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's good he put that, but it doesn't make up for anything that he did.
Well, yeah, no, it is good that he put that link, but... Everything, no, is horrible.
Like, we don't condone this, but here we are showing you what it is.
I know.
Like, I don't, okay.
I like how Curtis, though, was like, I hope you every, because there's also ads and stuff in his video, and he was like, every penny you get from that video, you should donate to the domestic or whatever, home abuse.
I don't know. I will.
It's that one website where it's like you can donate money to domestic violence or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me see if I can find that. I thought that was a good idea. Give it to you guys too. I'll also put
you
that.
Can donate.
I'll put that website.
Wait, yeah. Oh my God. That's a good idea.
I'll put it in the description of our video.
Yeah. Considering this was a domestic violence.
Yes.
That's what it's called, right? Domestic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Domestic violence is like home violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that is going to be, it's loveisrespect.org.
Loveisrespect.org.
Yes, and, yeah.
And, I mean, domestic violence is an all-the-time thing. Like, they do get crazy enough to where it does end up like a story like this that we just covered.
Which is heartbreaking.
But, yeah, it's very heartbreaking. But even then, if it's just... the guy hitting you, like, you know, like, abusive.
It doesn't make it okay.
Exactly. Like,
if it doesn't result in worse things.
Yeah.
Like, David and I always talk about, he's like, if I ever hit you, you need to leave me. Like, right then.
Wow.
Which is, like, really hard to talk about, obviously. But it's good that he takes notice.
Right.
About those things.
No, it is. It's good.
And that's how relationships should be. If you're ever hit by a partner... It shouldn't be a questionable thing. Yeah.
And it's also never your fault.
No.
Hitting is not a solution.
No.
Killing is not a solution. Like, it's scary. It really is. And, but yeah. So I'm glad we figured out to put realized we should put that little... donation thing in there, because that's what this story was, basically. Extreme domestic violence.
It really was.
But
let me, yeah, I will put that in the description for you guys.
Wow.
So, that was, well, it got very deep at the end.
I know, dang. I mean, it was deep the whole time, you know, but... It's like we're used to talking about these true crime stories, but then I'm like, wait, this happens all the time.
Just so you guys know, you can also, on this website, you can also chat, and there's a number to call, and you can text as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so that you can go somewhere with this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all. Sorry, that got very...
Very deep, but yeah. I mean, it's good to know that there's a thing out there.
It is.
That you can contact if you want to talk or need help, and then you can also donate, so that you can help
on the other end. That's true.
Yeah. But anyways, okay, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this story. Well, not enjoyed, but, you know, found it interesting.
We hope you listened to it.
Yes. Remember, you can email us at
horrorslumberparty@gmail.com
in case you want to give us some input, your own stories, or a suggestion.
Yes.
We're always open to them. So come on.
Please.
If you can't reach us at our email, which you will, hey friends.
I promise.
We do have Instagram at...
We do. It is at Horror Slumber Party Podcast. I almost forgot what it was.
Yeah. And then Twitter.
Party_horror.
Yeah. So follow us there. We enjoy y'all's company. And thank you guys so much for listening. We've noticed that our listens per day have
it's gotten... It's been steady.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting.
Yeah, at one point, it was higher. So, yeah, thank y'all.
Yes, thank you so much.
69.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. We can't thank you more. We say it
enough.
A lot, yeah. But we hope you know that we truly mean it.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Karina. We haven't mentioned you.
Fan. Karina's someone that told me to do this case. I forgot to tell you.
Oh, my God. There we go.
I'm so sorry, Karina.
It's okay. You know, hopefully she stays till the end so she can hear her shout out. Yeah, and lastly, please don't forget to make a donation if you want to,
yeah.
You know. It's there. So
yeah. That is loveisrespect.org.
Loveisrespect.org. I just repeated it in a loving voice.
Good. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Good night and scary dreams.
Bye.